enemies of the home, identifying what is it that's threatening our home spiritually, and what can we do from God's word to protect them. I think all of us would agree this morning the home is under attack. Marriages are under attack, and rearing children and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord is under attack. And so we have to know what we can do to protect our home. If you and I were enlisted in the United States military and we were sent over to the Middle East to be put in combat where people were going to be threatening our lives, and then we were given a weapon to defend ourselves, I don't know about you, I would want someone to teach me about the weapon. Where is the trigger? Okay? How do I get a lot of bullets in it at one time? All right? What can I do to protect myself to the very best of my ability? I would want to be very familiar with the weapon that literally would be the difference between my life or death. I would want to know how to use it. Well, there is an attack against our home, and God has given you and I a weapon, and it is His Word. And God wants you and I to be very familiar with the Word of God so that we can protect our home, protect our marriages, and protect our families. And that's been along the line of what we've been talking about in this series. And we're just in week three, and today we're going to talk about defeating the enemy of no order. No order in the home and defeating that particular enemy. After watching a special television program, a couple was sitting there in the living room, and the program was featuring kind of what's going on with children in American culture today, and just a disrespect and the rebellion and the problems and all these kinds of things. And they watched that, and it was over, and the husband looked over at his wife and he said, "What a mess we're in. I mean, look at what's happening in our country with all of these kids. Where do you think our generation went wrong?" And she thought for a moment, and she looked at her husband and she said, "Well, one thing is we had kids." And, you know, sometimes we can be adding to the problem if we're not careful, if we're not governing our homes according to the Word of God. And we want to make sure that while we live in a time in American culture where everything is under attack as it pertains to the biblical home, and it seems to be a lack of order, and we see that marriages are not maybe where they should be as far as strong and happy, and children are often not being guided by their parents biblically as they should, and society as a whole definitely falling apart. And we see that, good night, if you receive any kind of a news feed, there's problems at every turn in our American culture and society today. So what do we do about it? Well, as we turn to Ephesians 6, Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, is writing to the believers here in Ephesus, and he is instructing them how to have biblical order in their homes and with their children. This is something I want you and I to glean from this chapter as we study it today. So what did Paul say? How can we have order in our home? Number one, we see in our passage this morning the command for order. There is a command given for order. Now look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And this is the life verse of every parent, all right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Here is a command given by God to children. Now, let's break this command down. First of all, notice letter A, the requirement. The Bible says, "Children, obey." God tells our children that they are to obey us as mom and dad. This is what God desires of them. Now, the word obey here in Ephesians 6 comes from the Greek word hupakouo, which means to heed or conform to a command or authority. So God is telling children, I'm going to put an authority figure over your life, namely your father and mother. And I want you to heed to that authority, and I want you to obey their commands. When they tell you to do something or to discontinue doing something, I want you to listen and to follow. Now, we live in a society today where we want to be very sensitive to the creativity and development of all of our children. And there would be voices in our society that would say, moms and dads should never expect their children to be under them. They should never expect them to obey their every command. That is a militant dictatorial style. It's not in the best interest of this child's creative and progressive development. Well, far before that voice came on the scene, God wrote the Bible. And God designed the home, and God made me, and God made you, and God made our children, and God gave our children to us. And you know why God gave us children? Because they need parents. And they need parents who know God's word and conduct their homes accordingly. And God said, children, obey your mom and dad. They are an authority figure in your life. They have this responsibility, and children have a responsibility to listen and obey to their parents. This is a commandment given to them by God. So don't feel guilty in your home when you take the role of authority and when you require that your children submit to that authority. That's not a bad thing. It's a God thing. It's exactly what you're supposed to do. And it's sad in our American culture and society today that when you do that, sometimes you're made to feel like you're a bad parent. And I'm just here to kind of encourage you. You're not a bad parent. You're doing a good job. You're being a parent. This idea that, well, if you really love your kids, you just kind of let them do whatever they want, whenever they want, let them run all over you, and they'll kind of figure it out. I don't know that I've ever seen the end of that product work. They're usually still at home at 30, working about 10 hours a week at McDonald's. It's not a product that produces something that works. But God's Word produces something that works and has since its inception, since God made us and since God wrote His precious Word. And so there is a requirement. God wants children to obey. It's like the two boys who were on their way home from school and they were talking about their families and the dynamics of it. You know, one boy said, you know, I figured out a system for getting along with my mom. And the other boy kind of perked up like, wow, how did you do that? You know, and he said, well, it's very simple. She tells me what to do and I do it. He said, that's worked out real well. And you know what? That ought to be the system of our homes. That moms and dads tell children what to do and children do what they're told to do. And I know some of you are looking at me like, Brother Earl, that is so archaic. It's so old-fashioned. Nobody does it that way anymore. Well, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. This is God's word. And God says, you know what? Children obey. Children be under the authority of your mom and dad. Now, why? Let her be. Notice the reason. Let me give you some background here. The Bible says children obey your parents because they're amazing parents. No. Children obey your parents because God loves them more than He loves you. No. Children obey your parents, what's the next three words, class? In the Lord, right? Children obey your parents in the Lord. Now, this teaching is letting our children know that their obedience to father and mother is the will of God for their life. God is teaching in His Word, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is God's plan for their life and their development. By the way, it's the same motive that we have in marriage. Notice this passage in your notes in Ephesians 5, 21 and 22 concerning marriage. Submitting yourselves one to another, how? In the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, how? As unto the Lord. The wife is to submit to the leadership and authority of the husband, because God said. The husband is to love the wife even as Christ loved the church, because God said. And the children are to obey the parents, because God said. We're supposed to develop a system in our home. When God speaks, we say, yes, sir. And we do it. We follow God's plan, and that's how we have harmony in the home. God says when everybody is revolving around this thought of what does God want for us, we'll have harmony in our homes. The Bible says in Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. A wise mother and father are tying the fact that when a child is obedient to mom and dad, they are pleasing God. By the way, the reverse is true. When a child disobeys father and mother, they are displeasing the Lord. You say, why is that so important? Because we are in the life of our child, but for a season. And that season of our involvement in their life as mom and dad is preparation for one thing, a lifelong relationship with God. And can I tell you something? When God relates with your child, He will expect their obedience. Their obedience will be blessed, and their disobedience will be corrected. And if they are brought up in that environment, they will do well. If they are not brought up in that environment, they will struggle. And I just want to say something in love. And if they struggle because of that, it's not God's fault. If my children struggle in a relationship with God that is biblical, that's my fault. I did not train them to relate with their Creator. I did not teach them some basic fundamentals of life. And that is, when God speaks, we say, "Speak, Lord, your servant heareth." Here am I, Lord, send me. You want me to go on the backside of a desert and talk to a guy in a chariot? Sure, I'll go do that. Oh, you want me to go preach a revival in Nineveh and I don't want to? See you, God. And after a 3-day and 3-night personal meeting with God in the belly of a whale, I learn God doesn't take my disobedience lightly. I might want to change my mind. And after being regurgitated up on the shore, I learn, you know what, Nineveh's not so bad. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to preach at revival meeting, and I'm going to have a good spirit. You say, Brother Roel, do you believe that? I believe it because it's in the Bible. And I believe the same God who sent the whale after Jonah in a season of disobedience will send all kinds of stuff after my kids if they don't obey God. And my job as dad, leader of the home, biblical guider, is to make sure that my children obey. Now, I know what I'm teaching is not popular. I get it. I know that. But I hope in your heart it resonates that it's God's plan. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Secondly, the cause for the order. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obedience is not done because of the character or the merit of the parent. Now, this should be an encouragement to all of us. My children are not required to obey me because I'm super dad, because there are many times I'm not super dad. There are many times, quite frankly, I fail as father. But God says, children, obey your parents, the Lord, for this is right. This is the authority that God has given you in your life. This is the structure and the order that I have established, and children are to obey. And what does this do? This eliminates their ability to choose. In other words, my children cannot evaluate my life and say, you know what, Dad's been kind, and he bought me all the ice cream I wanted, and he took me to Disneyland, and he did this, and he did that. I think I'm going to obey for a while. And then, you know, Dad's really been a jerk, and I've had to clean my room and eat my green beans and this kind of stuff, and I'm going to throw a fit for a while. Doesn't work that way. Well, I wonder why it doesn't work that way. Because God expects my obedience when all the tires on my car are good, and I got a race in the sunshine. And God also expects my obedience when I got the flat tire, got laid off, and this bad thing happened and that bad thing happened. And the relationship that I have with Mariah, Lydia, Annalene, and Joseph is preparation for their relationship with their Creator, whom they are to live in obedience to because it is right. Not because it is happy, not because all is well in a bed of roses, not because all is smooth sailing and there are no problems. You know what? In life, sometimes there's problems. And we have to obey because it is right. This is the cause for this order that God has given us. In fact, a modern version of this verse in our society and culture today would be, parents, obey your children, for this will keep them happy and bring peace to your home. And sadly, that's how many homes in America are governed today. And it is not God's plan. It is right to be obedient because God says it is right. And by the way, when God says something is right, that should settle that issue in our heart. Amen. And it should settle in our home, and it should settle in the hearts of our children. But then notice, thirdly, the character for this order. What is the character of the order that God wants you and I to have? Well, he says, honor, verse 2, thy father and mother. So children obey and children honor. Now, the word honor here involves reverence. It's the idea of the inward feeling to the outward obedience that is being displayed. And God expects our children to obey, but God expects our children to honor. Now, let me get really basic. When you and I tell our children to clean their room, and they stomp off and snort and fuss and all that on their way to clean their room, did they go to clean their room? Yes. Well, did they obey in the technical sense? Were they honoring? No. God says, moms and dads, I want you to train children that obey and honor. So when you say, hey, Johnny, go clean your room, Johnny says, yes, sir, I'd be glad to, with a smile. And with joy, he goes and he cleans that room to the best of his ability unto the Lord. You say, Brother Rule, why is this important? Who cares what Johnny feels about cleaning his room? God. Because someday, God's going to tell Johnny to do something he doesn't want to do. And you know what God wants from Johnny? Yes, sir, I'll go do it. Who's going to prepare Johnny or Sally for that? You, me, in our homes with our children over little things like making their bed. You say, I don't know that I'm connecting the dots about my child at the age of 7 making his own bed and what he's going to do for God for his whole life. I'm telling you, there's a connection. God is using you in the formable years of your children to cultivate a heart that lives in obedience and honoring to authority, because God is in authority of their life. And when God begins to speak to them, remember prophet Eli and Samuel, who was in his home because of Hannah, and he thought Eli was calling him, and it wasn't Eli, it was God. And he was cultivating a response in Samuel's little heart that said, when God speaks to you, say, Lord, thy servant heareth. We want to cultivate in the hearts of our children sensitive ears to what does God want for them? How is God going to use them? And we want to have developed in their lives a proper response to that authority. And that proper response to authority develops first with their response to your authority. So let's just ask ourselves an honest question this morning as moms and dads. Do our children obey and do they honor? Do they obey and do they honor? God wants them to obey and honor. Now, why? Let's go into this a little further. Number 4, the consequences of this order. Now, that kind of almost sounds like, boy, judgment's coming. But actually, it's the contrary. Look at verse 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Wow, here's good consequence. When our children obey and honor, it sounds like blessing is coming to them. Now, the Bible says in Exodus 20:12 in your notes, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which thy Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So God has commands in life. In this particular passage to children, it is to obey and honor your parents. But with those commands, there are blessed consequences for those who obey. And children who obey their mom and dad, subsequently they are obeying God, His will and His word for them, they will escape a good deal of sin when they're living in a life of obedience, and they will be blessed by God for their obedience. God always blesses obedience. And sometimes it's in the quantity of life, sometimes it's in the quality of life, but God indeed blesses obedience. And disobedience or sin always robs us from life. So in our homes, there's got to be an environment where obedience is blessed, disobedience is corrected, because that's what God says happens in the real world. And by the way, that's the world you and I live in. We're not helping our children, putting them in a bubble where everything they do is blessed no matter what, and then throwing them in the real world where that's not the way it works. In the real world that you and I live in, obedience is still blessed, and disobedience is still rewarded with consequence and correction. Try going to work this week and doing the opposite of everything you're told to do. You may come next Sunday unemployed, because that's the world we live in, is it not? So what good are we doing rearing children where there is no consequence? It should be in our homes, obedience is blessed and disobedience is corrected, because that's the world we live in. And first and foremost, that's the relationship with God in which we should have. So there's this blessed consequence when indeed we are obedient. Fifthly, now notice the caution given here in our passage as we hasten along. Verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." Now, Paul is giving Peter here much instruction. That the believers in Ephesus are being instructed in how they ought to have order, and children are to be obedient, and they are to honor, and there is a blessing that comes with their obedience. But then a caution is given here, and it's directed to fathers, and certainly applies to mothers as well, that we're not to provoke our children to wrath. When we are not consistent in our expectation of children, or we try to guide their lives in rejection of God's commands, the Bible says wrath is what comes to their heart. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it." Years ago, the Duke of Windsor came and visited America. And upon his return, he wrote, "Everything in the American home is controlled by switches. Everything except their children." Now, I lived in a home where the children were still controlled by the switches. I promise you that. I could spend the rest of our time with many, many stories of Brother Rule's quite familiar side with the correction of disobedience. I will tell you that for sure. Now, but God is saying here, be careful. Be careful not to provoke your children to wrath. Let's look at that very quickly. First of all, letter A, notice the person. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, I believe fathers are addressed here because they are the head of the home. And I just want to encourage all the dads in attendance. Number one, thank you for being here. Number two, I want to encourage you to be faithful in this series because you play such a significant role in your home. And while we may live in a society and a culture that doesn't make much of dad in the home, may his design and the hour we spend every week elevate that position in your mind and home to a biblical level. Because when the attention is turned here, he says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." Dads, be involved. Dads, lead. Dads, get your hands involved in the training of your children. And that's long been an advocate of this class for sure. And by the way, we have some dear moms here this morning that dad is not in attendance, and there may be lots of reasons for that. And I want to thank you for being here and encourage you. Be involved. Stay at it, and God will bless you. I think of Rachel and Zach is deployed and many stories like it. And all of us are needed in the lives and development of our children. So we see the person. Fathers here are addressed. But then notice letter B, the provoking. He says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." He says, "Dads, don't do stuff that's going to bring wrath into the heart of your children." When we are unreasonable, or we're showing a lack of concern, or we're not following the biblical pattern, wrath can stir. Now, the opposite of provoking is to encourage. And God wants you and I to be an encouragement of our children in the things of the Lord and not a discouragement to them. Now, how can we provoke our children to wrath? Some practical ideas. And I don't know if you have these or not, so I'm going to run through them. Listen to the recording later if you don't have them. When we say one thing and do another, that provokes wrath in the heart of our children. We've got to be careful to do what we say. When we are always blaming our children and never praising them. Every dad, I need the sound of my voice. Here's your homework assignment this week. Find your child doing something right before the eyes of God and praise them. Make big of it. Hey, son, I saw you do that. Good job. Hey, sweetheart, I saw you do that. Way to go. Man, your daddy's proud of you. Find a positive and praise it. By being inconsistent and unfair in discipline. If you and I want to stir wrath in the hearts of our kids, be inconsistent. Man, when dad's in this mood and things are going this way, this is how it is. But boy, be careful. When dad's in this mood and it's going this way, watch out. Hey, be careful. Inconsistency breeds wrath by showing favoritism in the home. If God's blessed you with more than one child, you want to make sure that you're consistent and fair. By making promises and not keeping them. What's the Bible say? Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Now, every one of us dads have been guilty. Hey, we're going to do whatever. And then whatever never happens. And there may be a good reason. There may be this. You may have broke your arm. I don't know. Be consistent. Do what you say. Don't make promises and break them. And by the way, if something happens and you just can't get out of it, make it up and make it up better. Hey, guys. Daddy is sorry. I said we were going to do this and that, and it's just not going to happen. And here's why, and I want to ask you to forgive me, and here's what I'm doing to make it up. Boy, next week we're going to do this, and it's going to be even bigger, and it's going to be even better, and it's going to be awesome. Communicate. But you've got to be consistent in that by making light of problems. Now, lots of moms are very intuitive, very sensitive. And they can bring stuff to us, you know, like, did you see your son hanging off the edge of the roof outside? You know, he might need some help, you know. And we're just oblivious to stuff sometimes, you know. And he might need some help or die, you know, I don't know. But anyway, and so sometimes we need a little help. And dads, we've got to be a little bit more attentive in some of these areas. We want to ask God for wisdom and discernment. We want to be the kind of dads that can discern a problem when it's small in the life of our child. And help to take care of it biblically and not let it get bigger and bigger and bigger. So there's a caution given here. And the scriptures are challenging both moms and dads to be filled with the Spirit, consistent and sensitive to the development of their children. Then as we close number 6, notice the cultivating of this order. He says, fathers, provoke not the children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. First of all, notice as we close the responsibility. We are to nurture and provide admonition. Now, these are similar. We are to instruct, but we also are to provide correction for when that instruction is not heeded. The same nurture found in Ephesians 5:29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord of the church. Even as somebody kind of takes care of themselves, we are commanded to provide for our children. Not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually as well. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And our children need this increasing as well, according to our role in developing them. The idea of nurturing is training and providing correction when that is not heeded. By the way, this is what God does. Notice this verse in your notes, Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord hateth, he chasteneth. Is that what that verse says? No. Now that's what culture wants us to think, but that's not biblical. The Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. God in love chastens us, so we'll stay on track. When God gets my attention, you know what God is telling me? He's telling me two things. Number one, rule, get back in line. But number two, I love you. And when I chasten my children, I'm telling them two things. Joseph, get back in line. And hey, bud, I love you. And by the way, when I don't chasten them, I'm telling them two things as well. Joseph, I don't care that you're out of line, and I don't love you. Because I am commanded as a father to provide the kind of home where children obey and honor. And you say, well, I don't know that I have that responsibility in my home. Can I tell you in love this morning in this class, If God has given you children, you have that responsibility. And God will equip you to fulfill it. That's one of the reasons we have this class, or so we can learn from the Word of God in order how to do it. And so we've got to make sure that we do that correctly. And we might spend a whole week on how to provide the biblical correction. That's certainly not something we just want to go and do. But I will tell you this, it should always be done in love and not in anger. And we certainly should be consistent. And we have to be consistent in our lives. I read the stat this week. A study once disclosed that if both mom and dad faithfully attend church, 75% of their children remain faithful in church. Isn't that interesting? Boy, children do what they see. And we want to make sure we're providing a consistent model that we are instructing and encouraging our children. Then it all closes, letter B, with the reminder. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God, in these three words, reminds us that all of this is according to His will and according to His plan. Can I give you a story? And I know I'm over time, but it's worth the time. Listen very quickly. Al Capone virtually owned the city of Chicago. He wasn't famous for anything heroic, but he was notorious for filling Chicago with everything that is evil. Now, how did he keep himself out of jail living such a life of crime? Well, it was his lawyer. In fact, Al Capone's lawyer was nicknamed Easy Eddie. Now, he was excellent, one of the best, and did a great job at keeping his boss out of jail, and Al Capone paid him very well. Now, Eddie lived the high life and cared very little for what happened around him. His only soft spot in his heart was for his son. Now, he tried to teach his son right and right and wrong and what he should do with his life. And he wanted to be a better father to him, but obviously his line of work and his clients prevented him much from that. With all of his wealth and all the things he could do for his son, he knew he was struggling and failing in the area of training his son to do that which is right. Finally, Eddie reached a very difficult decision and decided that he was going to tell the truth. In fact, it was Easy Eddie's testimony that eventually put Al Scarface Capone away for life. Now, this was something that Eddie knew he was going to pay a dear price for. And in fact, about a year after his testimony in court, Eddie's life was ended in a blaze of gunfire for the testimony that he had provided. And yet he knew that while this moment of truth-telling cost him his life, it was a pattern he wanted to provide to his son. Now, World War II produced many heroes in our country. One was Commander Butch O'Hare. Now, he was a fighter pilot assigned to the aircraft carrier Lexington in the South Pacific. One day, his entire squadron was sent out on a special mission. After being airborne for just a few minutes, Butch looked down and saw that his fuel gauge was much lower than it should be. And he quickly realized that his aircraft had not been topped off like the rest, and he was not going to be able to complete the mission. As he was beginning to head back to his carrier before he would run out of fuel, he noticed that there was a squadron of Japanese fighters headed for the American fleet, the naval fleet. The fighters were all gone and the fleet was defenseless, and so he couldn't help. And so he diverted his path back to his carrier and he dove into formation against these Japanese planes. He fired all of his 50 calibers, and when he ran out of ammunition, he used his own plane to clip the wings of these Japanese fighters. Upon arrival to his carrier, making it there just before he ran out of fuel, they took the film from the gun camera and verified this entire story. This took place on February the 20th of 1942. And for that action, Commander Butch O'Hare became the first naval ace of World War II and was awarded a Congressional Medal of Honor. A year later, at the age of 29, Butch was killed in action defending our freedom. His hometown did not want his memory to ever fade. And so in Chicago, the great O'Hare International Airport is named after Commander Butch O'Hare. And by the way, Butch O'Hare's father is Easy Eddie. He didn't have the best of life, but he had a parent who decided, no matter what it costs me, I'm going to do right for my child. And that child lived with that memory for the rest of their life. And I don't know where you are in your parenting, but I want to encourage you this morning in your heart to decide, I'm going to do right no matter what it costs me. And I just want to encourage, as a preacher of the Word of God, there will come a life, a moment in the life of your children where they will say, I am thankful for the pattern my parents provided, because it will affect the rest of their life. And may we decide there's going to be order in our home. We're going to do this thing God's way. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for some time around your word. And I pray that you'd help us as we fulfill the responsibility of moms and dads to provide the biblical order in our home. Bless now the service to follow and all that you have planned for us today. And we'll praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.